Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With State Representative Mike Sterla, he's Democrat from the 96th Legislative District. That's near Lancaster. He's one of the real veterans of the State House, having been there since 1991. And he's also chairman of the Democratic Policy Committee. Mr. Sterla, good afternoon. I appreciate you taking the time to be with us this afternoon.
Sure, thanks for having me.
So the other day, I guess yesterday, I'm looking around online. I came across this story on Lancaster Online. State lawmakers unveiled proposal to legalize 40,000 video gambling machines. And as I read it, it's the bill that has been proposed several times, or at least a variation of it, to allow video poker machines, as we used to call them, in the bars. Explain in detail what your bill would do.
Well, I think the best description is that it's a variation of what had been proposed before. What we've done is, last year there was an attempt to run a video gaming terminals, or VGT bill as they call it, and it failed in part because we didn't have a lot of the details worked out. In fact, the one comment on the floor of the House when it failed was, or before it failed, was that the bill really wasn't what was going to be in the final bill. We just needed to send it over to the Senate and let them work on it. And I think a lot of members said, no, let's actually get a good product before we send it over. Mm. A couple of things that this does is the bill last year would have allowed up to 80,000 machines in the state. The state police have said that they believe there are about 40,000 illegal machines out there. And one of the concerns before was that we were going to cannibalize both the casinos and the lottery if we allowed 80,000 machines. So what we've said this year is, look, we're only going to allow as many machines as there are illegal machines out there, and we're going to make sure that the illegal machines don't exist anymore. So in that sense, it won't cannibalize anything because we're replacing an illegal machine with a legal machine. A couple of other variations. Last year's bill did not include a local share. This will include a local share, which I think is important for several reasons. One, there are some municipalities out in the western part of the state where they already tax the illegal machines. If we were going to not give a local share, they were going to lose that revenue. And this way they can get that revenue and more, and as well as other municipalities that don't have any of those illegal machine taxes or even any of the illegal machines, to be able to get a share of the profits from those VGTs. So I think there's been a lot of improvements and understanding. We listened to the concerns of members that members expressed last year. And I think we have a pretty solid bill this year.
When you say there are 40,000 illegal machines and the term VGT, for those of us who are over 50, basically you're talking about the one-armed bandits, the video poker machines that I used to play at Shenanigans in 1985, and just allowing them to pay off. Is that correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, now they aren't one-armed bandits. They are, they're all on video and touched screens.
Okay.
But, you know, this issue has been around since, if you remember, Attorney General Ernie Preate went to jail for taking kickbacks, but for turning a blind eye to
right.
those illegal machines back in the late 80s.
Yep.
So it's not that this issue hasn't been around, nor that we've not known about it. I mean, we've known about this issue for a long time, and no one was willing to do anything about it. Some of the people that had the illegal machine said, don't you dare take that away from me. People turned a blind eye to it. One, I think this does several things. If right now, if I walk into a bar where I'm not a regular and they have an illegal VGT sitting there, a gaming terminal, and I win. And I go up to the bartender and say, hey, I want my payout. He's going to say, what are you talking about?
Right.
There's no payout. That machine's just for pure pleasure. It would be illegal if I paid out on it.
Right.
So I'm never going to play that machine because I know that I'm never going to get paid on it. And so this will allow people to play and one, be guaranteed that it's legal, that they're not breaking any laws. Two, that if they do win, they actually get the payout. And ultimately, it will take a lot of very well-meaning social organizations, you know, VFWs and things like that, that have some of these machines sitting in their organizations, to not have to sort of say, well, we're really kind of breaking the law, but it's all for the good of the organization. And it will allow some other establishments that were legitimate establishments that didn't have these to say, oh, I can pick up a couple extra bucks by putting one of these machines in my establishment now.
What is the revenue split of this if it comes? You're quoted as saying could make up to $400 million for the Commonwealth. And you just said there's a local share. I assume there's also a share for the host, for the VFW or bar or restaurant or whatever it is. Do you know what the revenue split is?
Yeah, well, my guess is that this is something that will be negotiated a little bit and maybe pushed a percent here or there. But roughly it's 30% for the operators, 30% for the tavern owners, 30% for the machine supplier, and 10% for the local community. And that's going to get pushed and pulled. Some that say, oh, the machine operators need 33%, and the bar tavern owner can get away with 25%, and the state ought to get 12%. And, you know, so we're going to push those numbers a little bit. That's one of those things that I think will possibly change by a percent or two.
Just as an aside, I mean, the Commonwealth share would just go into the general fund, wouldn't necessarily be targeted for pensions or anything, or maybe that might be an idea you might want to consider.
Well, that might be an idea we want to consider. You know, ultimately, the only way we're going to get past the pension crisis is if we have a dedicated funding source to go to the unfunded liability, because changing it from, you know, a defined benefit plan to a defined contribution plan or a 401k plan actually increases the unfunded liability and increases the amount that school districts would have to pay in the short term, and does nothing to alleviate the unfunded liability any quicker than anything we're doing right now.
To the VGT bill, you know, I remember it's got to be close to 10 years ago having a conversation with a former state representative where I lived at the time shortly after the first legalized gaming bill in Pennsylvania had become law. And I said, in effect, you're stopping this bill from going anywhere because the casinos want it stopped. And his answer to me was, when you're paying the money that they are for licenses, you're damn right. That has always been the opposition to this. The casinos, you used the word cannibalize. The casinos actually believe that a bill like this will cannibalize them. Is that correct?
Well, they say it will take some of their patrons away. And as I said, what we've done is said we're not going to put any more machines out there than already exist illegally. So it would be hard for somebody to claim that, you know, they were now getting cannibalized. The other thing is some of the casinos themselves have now said, okay, we'll be those machine operator suppliers and they'll be able to make money off of this industry also. And, you know, finally, what I would add is that what we haven't done with the casinos is said that they can't establish a casino in a neighboring state that cannibalizes their own casino here in Pennsylvania.
Good point.
And what we have seen is a couple of them put a casino right across the border from the casino that they have in Pennsylvania and literally try and lure people that are in the Pennsylvania casino over to their casino in another state that has a lower taxation rate.
Yeah, good point.
So they're willing to cannibalize themselves.
Right.
They just don't want anybody else doing it. And so I think they're well established, but they're a welcome industry in the state of Pennsylvania. And I think we've given them an opportunity to have a chance at this also, to be involved in this. But I think they would be really hard pressed to in any way, shape, or form prove that it was going to be a detriment to their business.
Because frankly, I think that idea, that argument is kind of ridiculous. The corner bar down the street has a couple of machines to pay off, and that's going to cannibalize the casinos. I think that's crazy.
Yeah. The people that I know that go to casinos go there for an entertainment package.
Exactly.
They're there as an entire day or evening kind of thing.
Yeah.
The guy that's going to put a buck in the slot machine or the VGT down at the corner bar stopped in after work for a beer before he went home. He's not running off to the casino that night because that's not a 5-minute deal. So.
Now, I talked to your secretary this morning. This doesn't even have a bill number yet, so it hasn't been introduced. Considering that the General Assembly is very seriously looking at a gambling expansion, this doesn't look like a real big one. What do you think the chances of its passing are?
Well, I think it's pretty good. We had all four caucuses represented at the press conference. I think if we had had all our ducks in a row last year, that bill would have passed, but we weren't quite ready when they sprung the bill. So I think this year we're ready to go. I think the revenues that we're actually saying are going to occur in the first year, because it's going to take a while to bring this thing up to scale. We think it's actually going to be about $100 million the first year. I think that's a reasonable estimate. If we look at the Illinois model, when they were fully operational, and when I say fully operational, they still don't have VGTs in the city of Chicago. But when they were fully operational, they're now generating a total of about $1 billion a year, and it's a little over $300 million a year in revenue to the state.
You say 40,000 illegal machines now. Is there like a one-for-one replacement of 5,000 of them go down and there are no more parts? Does that mean 5,000 new machines could go on?
Well, what we're saying is that there's going to be a pretty stiff penalty for, in this legislation, we call for a $10,000 fine for an illegal machine, and that's one that is not hooked up through the state system. Whether it's plugged in or not, whether you have it sitting in a back room, whether you claim that it was never used, it doesn't matter. An illegal machine is going to cost you $10,000 and eventually can lose you your liquor license. So we think those illegal machines are going to disappear pretty quickly, and the legal machines will be up and running. We've also said that in the future, if we said we'll allow 1,000 more machines a year, it would take 40 years for us to get up to where the number was last year in last year's bill.
Okay, but that's what I was getting to. There is a provision that you could possibly add new machines in the future.
Right.
All right. I'm way late for a break. I appreciate you being with us. Thank you very much. I should also note, by the way, you're chairman of the Democratic Policy Committee, but your co-sponsor in this bill is a Republican. So this is a bipartisan issue.
Yeah, this is. And as I said, there's both Democrats in the House and Senate that are in favor of this, and Republicans in both the House and Senate that are in favor of this. So we're working on this in a bipartisan fashion to try and generate revenue for the state of Pennsylvania and also for legitimate businesses and social organizations throughout the state.
All right. State Representative Mike Sterla, I appreciate you being with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.